Welcome to the BTST Powered Podcast, meeting you where you are. We live and move in different phases of our lives almost daily, and everyone's not in the same place at the same time, even those who we are close to. The Meeting You Where You Are podcast will have relevant discussion about emotional well-being, and our guests will share in a way that is insightful while providing tools for you to assist or move you to your optimal goal while meeting you where you are. So sit back and listen up.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Ransall-Smith, founder of the Personal Elevation Lab and personalelevation.com. I am on the Meeting You Where You Are podcast, sponsored by BTST, and I want to thank Jan Desper-Peters for having me. This has been a magnificent time, and we want to welcome you and help you kick off 2020 and make it your fiercest year yet.
Studio today, my friend Jennifer Ransall-Smith. She is a personal elevation architect, and she'll tell us what that means. But I just want to share, Jennifer, before we get into our conversation, how I met you. I've known Jennifer probably for about 5 years, and we met through a mutual friend. I don't know if Jennifer remembers this, but our friend, the good comedian, the indie mom, Michelle. And she said to me, you need to meet someone, and I want to introduce you to her. And I tell you that every encounter that I have with Jennifer is not only enlightening, but just takes me to another level as well, as a woman, as a professional, as an entrepreneur. And so I'm happy to be able to share Jennifer with the whole wide world today through the Meeting You Where You Are podcast. So welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to bottle that up and play that every morning when I go in the bathroom to remind myself when my husband's looking at me side-eyed about who I am. I was going to say play. This is who I am.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's exactly who you are. So, Jennifer, tell us about what a personal elevation architect is, and just kind of share with our audience some of the things that you do to help people.
Okay, absolutely. I am the founder of the Personal Elevation Lab, and what that means is I work specifically, in my case now, for the last 5 or 6 years, primarily with women executives, but I show people how to strategically position and elevate themselves. How do you take your skills, your knowledge, your expertise, how do you package it in a way that you're able to put it out in the world and let people know the value that you're bringing? And so often, so many of us have spent our entire career just getting knowledgeable and building and doing everything, the checklist, going to school, getting the degrees, but we're never taught how to effectively sell ourselves. And so what I show people how to do is how do you let people know what you're bringing, you know, to the table, how you're a game changer within your organization, how you're a game changer within the field of therapy, how you're a game changer on your team. And so I help people understand that the values that they're bringing and how to strategically position that, how to leverage that, how to use a lot of tools. And a lot of them are free, you know, but how to use those tools so that you're able to set yourself apart from your competition.
Okay. So one of the things that I just want to kind of dive into or just tell people about is this new kind of discussion programming that we have at BTST called Nails, Toes, and Convos.
Okay.
And that's a very interesting kind of title, but it came out of the fact that the CEO of BTST, Chris Simon, and his wife and some of their partners, they own a spa. It's called Selfish. And to connect this business with that business, Chris thought it would be interesting to have not only a perspective on your outer beauty, but what's going on the inside too. So we started this discussion group this year, and you're going to be our January 2020 speaker. And the topic is solutions, not resolutions. And the reason I bring that up is because I want people to come out to the Nails, Toes, and Convos. But I also want to kind of talk about the name of that spa, Selfish. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the first topic that we talked about in the discussion was it's okay to be selfish. And I'm wondering, do you find that in people who are trying to, you know, think about what their personal elevation goals are and their branding goals, it's like, well, is it selfish or is it self-centered to focus on me?
Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about it is before I leveled up into personal elevation, I am a personal brand strategist at heart. I've been doing branding for 25 plus years now. I started on Madison Avenue and then eventually about 13 years ago started my own firm. And so what I realized was when I initially started doing personal branding, I assumed that a person would be able to walk in and there's just a checklist of certain things that we needed to do to get you out there and strategically positioned. And what I started finding was I was attracting the right kind of clientele, but I might have somebody with double Ivy League degree who was killing it on paper and everywhere else, and everything was put in place, but they still weren't getting the traction that they needed. And the gap came from something that I truly believe, and it is the world will never see you higher than you see yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
One of the things that happens when you talk about that is most people spend so much time studying everyone else, studying everything else. I like to say that the most important brand in the world is your own. They know everything about, and I'm just going to throw, Kardashians or Netflix or whatever. But if you gave them 25 in-depth questions about themselves, they have to ponder it. You know, and so when you're talking about being selfish, I truly believe that your number one job walking this earth is to understand yourself and like the back of your hand. Understand what it is you're bringing, understand your successes, understand your gaps. But there has to be white space and there has to be time that you take in order to do that. It doesn't just happen. And so that is how do I always say you can tell a person's priorities by looking at their calendar. If I look at your calendar and you're nowhere in it, there are going to be gaps that show up externally because you're competing against people who understand themselves. And so I don't look at it necessarily at all. It shouldn't even the entire thing. Selfish is not, it's that's not even a thought when it comes to your job is to take time to nurture, to respond, to put yourself in a position to win, to put yourself in a position to be nurtured, to put yourself in a position to be cared for. And the way that you treat yourself is the way that the world is going to respond and treat you.
So I heard a couple things in that. I've actually been one of Jennifer's clients. So I have been the benefit of her great knowledge. But one of the things that really resonates with me is the time to think and putting time on my calendar for me to do that. Because there are some things that just won't happen in my life if it's not on my calendar. Mm-hmm. And so I heard you say, you know, just kind of developing that time to make sure that you carve out time for yourself to think about what some of your goals and your plan, some of that activity, and then also time to think. Are there any other tips that you can offer the listeners today?
Well, I want to dial back and just piggyback off of that. I was reading a Harvard Business Review article several years ago, and if I'm not mistaken, they were talking about CEOs in Japan. And the article said that at many of the companies, the CEOs were not allowed to put anything on their calendar for the first 2 hours of their day. So all they had to do was go in their offices, high-rise, whatever, right, and think. Literally, just think. I mean, it's called white space. Mm-hmm. Because when you don't have white space and everything is running around and 15 people are running in with problems and you're talking about the ROI and you're talking about this employee and this person's going to get fired, you're building on something that is a faulty foundation. But if you literally carve that in, and then I want to go back a little bit further. When I first decided that I wanted to be a speaker, I was at Reed Temple. And I had taken off. I was working at one of the top 100 PR firms and was on Capitol Hill. And I had taken off the day to go see John Maxwell. You know John Maxwell?
I do know John Maxwell.
So John
very
Maxwell
well.
Was at Reed Temple and he was sitting in a chair, a leather chair with a a glass of coffee. And I was like, I want to do that for 8 hours. We paid like $100 to come see him.
Right.
This was like 2005 or something like that. And one of the things that he said was he has a chair in his office that he sits in every day and he cannot write in it. He can't do anything. It's his thinking chair. And so the reason I brought those two things up is that, you know, we always are reinventing the wheel and not necessarily looking at what successful people do. And if successful people are carving out time to recognize the importance of just having downtime, and what we're doing is putting in any kind of crevice that we have, we're busy for, you know, 25 minutes, but let me sit in the car real quick before I run in the house, mm-hmm. then you cannot expect. And so I just wanted to emphasize that is, when you're talking about something as important, it goes on your calendar, you know. And one of the things, the tools that we've discussed is a book called Miracle Morning. Mm-hmm. And the one of the things I love about the premise of Miracle Morning, and you can get it on Amazon, you can get it at any bookstore, is that by the time you walk in the office, you're on everyone else's agenda. By the time you get up and you go outside, basically, of your room and you have a family of kids, you're on everyone else's agenda. So you're responding to everyone else. And so one of the things, of successful tools that a lot of, and have millions of people who follow this premise, is getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and spending exactly 1 hour on elevating yourself. And he breaks that down between 10 minutes. And so what I would do is set my Apple iPhone, and you do 10 minutes of just silence and prayer, 10 minutes of affirmations. And I was very intentional about affirmations. So say you're a therapist and you're looking to build your practice, then for 10 minutes, my affirmations are, you know, I'm attracting the kind of clients who understand the value that I'm bringing and who act upon the advice that I give. I know how to run my, you know, my firm or my agency or my business effectively. I'm only attracting. So not just willy-nilly, any old affirmation,
right.
But very intentional about those affirmations. I mean, writing them down and then saying the same thing every single day.
Should you write
them
down?
Absolutely. I mean, you should literally develop 10 or 15 that are, you know, that speak to what it is, especially we're looking at this January being a launching pad for the new year. 10 or 15 that speak to what you're trying to do in your relationships, speak to what you're trying to do with your health, speak to what you're trying to do with your finances, speak to what you're trying to do, the kind of clientele and the revenue you're trying to bring, and the opportunities or experiences you're trying to have, and then marinate on those every single day for 10 minutes. And it's like the compound thing in finances. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden you're looking at June, what the heck just happened to my life, you know?
Right.
So 10 mm-hmm. minutes for silence, 10 minutes for affirmations, and then 10 minutes for visualization. And I'll give a tool for visualization in a minute, but 10 minutes where you're visualizing, literally you're shutting that down, closing your eyes, and visualizing what it is that you're trying to attract, who you're trying to be, the kind of person you're trying to step into. 10 minutes for exercise, just getting those endorphins if you're running in place or whatever, and then reading something within your industry, and then 10 minutes of journaling. So if you look at that, you know, and 10 minutes not being that much time, but just an hour, the impact that ends up having. I remember about 5 or 6 years ago, I had been attracting a lot of clients, but they weren't necessarily the clients that I wanted.
Right.
And they weren't bad clients, but they were just clients like me, a lot of small businesses. And my goal had been to work with senior level executive women at top organizations in the world. And so it hit me one day, I was walking by my desk and I looked down and I said to myself, you're never going to attract what you're not. And I started doing the Miracle Morning, and I don't know, but a year later, I remember literally being stopped as I walked by and somebody hadn't handed me a card, and I had 4 or 5 cards, and every single card on my desk was, you know, CEO of this organization, CEO. And, you know, you don't realize when the change starts to happen, mm-hmm. but it really is setting the intent and doing something every single day. And so, yes.
So that's wonderful. I just want to also talk about, because I think that you and I have talked about this as well. So I have another business, but I also am very interested in kind of promoting myself. And I know there are a lot of people out there like this as well, and promoting myself as a subject matter expert or someone who has an idea about something that could sell. Mm-hmm. And then I started saying, well, is that something people really are interested in, or would people really buy that? And so I know that those are some of the things that people say when they're talking about an idea or a concept, mm-hmm. or even being a public speaker on a national platform, mm-hmm. where they're standing on a stage where they're speaking to thousands and thousands of people. And then what are some of the initial steps that you speak to people about as they think about this kind of idea?
So I want to dial back what you said just slightly, because I think that for a lot of people is a leap to think, okay, I'm a subject matter expert, and next thing you know, I'm sitting in front of Raven Stadium with, you know, that's not my dream.
Right.
But the idea is, we're in an intellectual society, and if you look at how we move, everything we do now, we find out information via Google. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, went to school. I went to Morris Brown in Atlanta. And when I was back in college in, you know, the early 90s, if I wanted to find out anything, and I would ask a friend, a sorority sister, someone would give me that information, and then I would take that and I would go. Now, if I want to find out information within 2 seconds, how many times have you been on a conversation with someone and you mentioned something, and by the time you've been finished, they had already Googled and they were giving you that information? So we look at how we move in the world, but we don't think people are doing that with us.
Okay.
And so the fact of the matter is, if you're a therapist, if you're in this industry, if you're working at a clinic and you've spent 15 years, you are an expert in your area. And you have to, in order for your own survival in an intellectual in time industry, you have to shift to seeing yourself that way. Now, how you decide to leverage is another thing, because some people feel comfortable writing. Some people might feel comfortable putting out a product. Some people just might feel comfortable understanding that and packaging themselves in a way where they're able to, you know, generate more income or, you know, consult or something. But the first, before you can even do any of those things, it is understanding the value that you're bringing and realizing that you have been in the mental health game for a very long time. You have seen it from every single aspect. And so what so many of us do is we downplay our greatness.
Right.
We downplay the fact that there's someone down the hall who might have 3 degrees or have gone to a school that's more Tony than the one that we went to. And so I think my challenge for everyone just starting at a smaller level is being able to look in the mirror and see a game changer, see a person who's skilled, knowledgeable, and who is an industry expert. Because once you see that person looking back, then it absolutely changes the way that you start moving.
And I also believe that people want to learn from people who have those kinds of experiences.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm thinking about, for instance, on a different topic, but, you know, just child rearing or how to have a successful marriage, right? And so I guess because it's the end of the year, people are posting about, you know, different kinds of celebrations. And I'm seeing a lot of anniversaries of people's parents that have been married 50 and 60 years. And I'm thinking, I want to talk to them.
Right.
You know, I want to see how they did it. And I know it wasn't easy, but it doesn't all, it's, you know, I always say it ain't easy. Ain't nothing easy.
Right.
If it ain't easy, if it's easy, it's probably not worth having. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Right.
And so just really trying to think through, you know, what that means as it relates to what I or what you have to offer, and then packaging that so that you can package your expertise and be and promote yourself as a thought leader.
The expertise is, I mean, it's so vastly, especially when it comes to our community. My mother was giving me a story one time about a great, great aunt who, like a lot of our people, clean homes.
Mm-hmm.
And she cleaned homes in Indianapolis and on a street where all the, you know, the person who owned the home happened to own the bread, Wonder Bread Factory, that kind of thing. And my mom said that the person who lived in the house had the museum, a museum quality house where you really could not touch anything because it could, they replicated this house based on some castle or something in Europe. And so she said that every single thing in the house was just like worth an enormous amount of money. Our family member had the knowledge and the skill set that the ability to clean and make sure everything was taken care of at the highest level.
Right.
My mom said now that person could have absolutely, you know, my great aunt could have absolutely been at the Met or the Guggenheim, you know, mm-hmm. head of something where you're, you know, making a gajillion dollars. But then, and everyone who hears that is like, she's a maid. You know what I'm saying? There's just a difference. And I was telling someone, I spoke one time at, and this was a decade ago, but it was at like the National Association of Administrative Assistants. And someone raised their hand and she said, but we're just secretaries. And I said, that's why I think so highly and it's so important to how you see yourself. And I said, there is a difference between the person who says I'm just a secretary and the person who's the executive, you know, assistant or whatever to the CEO who makes $500,000. There are secretaries in, on Wall Street who make $1 million bonus. So there's a difference between a person who says I will babysit your kids or the person who says I have 2 degrees, speak 3 languages, and I'll make sure your kids have access to the best museums that Smithsonian has to offer, and I'm going to give them adventures, and they're charging $250,000 a year to be a nanny, and someone who's just like, you know, upset because on, what is it, daycare.com, they're getting 21.
Right.
It's how you see yourself, and when both of those situations, it's how you package and position yourself.
Okay. And so what are some tips that you would share, that you can share with our listeners as it relates to how to get started? Because this is great information and I'm excited about it. I'm sure that our listeners are excited about it. It's like, then now what?
Yep. So if I had to do 3 things, this is just 3 off the top because I did not know.
Right.
Okay. But one of the biggest disconnects that we get is most people don't have a tight elevator pitch. And I'm going to do something that comes before the elevator pitch. But most people, when they tell you what you do, all you're doing is yawning. You know, that there are very few people that you sit down. I say, and I believe this, your how you communicate should be so freaking tight that you don't need a business card. There's so many people that I meet that you don't have to give me a car, but by the time you get down to the car, I've already Googled you. I'm on
LinkedIn,
your Facebook, LinkedIn.
Right.
You know, I'm like, oh my God, I've called, girl, you gotta check this person out, you know? So you don't have to do a hard sell when you know how to effectively sell. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
So before you can, I would say elevator pitch, understanding, and literally you can Google and go on YouTube. I mean, like, there's so much free technology, so we're not gonna, this is not the elevator pitch section.
Right.
So that's number two. But number
one. You get
the
elevator pitch when you come to Nails, Toes, and Convos.
Yes, yes. But number one is understanding the value you bring. Most people cannot tell you the top 5 things that differentiate me from my competitors, what it is that I'm bringing to the table, why you need to interact with me, what value you're going to get with after having that interaction with me. And so when you're clear, I'm a therapist and I tend to work with students or I work with young people who are between the ages of 14 and 21 who are suffering anxiety and who are going through this. And the reason that you want to come through me is because all the rest of the therapists within this practice do everyone. I don't do everyone. My life is dedicated to ensuring that young people have the tools because of social media, because of technology, and because of all the self-hatred and the high rates of suicide, that young people have the tools in order to thrive. Here's why you want to come to me. Most people can't do that. And so when you're really clear on the value that you're bringing, then the number two thing is being able to do that elevator pitch. It becomes that much easier.
Right.
And it doesn't sound like everyone else's. Everybody tends to sound like a me too. Every time they describe themselves, and it doesn't matter where you are. You can go to the grocery store. You can go anywhere. Everybody that you meet, 90% do not know how to effectively sell themselves, and they're not selling themselves on a value-based. So I would say look and start this year and recognize the value that you're bringing. Recognize your failures. Recognize your successes. Be comfortable talking about all of those things.
Okay. All right. That's great. I mean, I had a pregnant.
Your biggest win.
Okay.
What is the biggest win that you've ever had? What is your biggest loss? And one other question that I ask everyone, how have you elevated and changed and grown in the last 12 months? What have you done? And then the third thing before, and I didn't want to interrupt you, but the third thing that I would say is make a priority on your personal elevation. And whatever that means to you, that means that if you're in this space, what podcasts are you listening to over the, you know, like right. put your own curriculum together.
Right.
You know, if I were doing the University of Jan and you called me up mm-hmm. and I would be like, okay, here are the top five podcasts that you need to dive into. Here are the influencers that you need to follow. Here are the industry publications that you need to read. Here are the people that you need to connect with. If you had to put a personal plan together based on your particular industry, those would be the three things that I would say that would literally completely change your 2020, you know, and give it the foundation that you want. Understanding the value that you're bringing, be able to successfully and effectively sell yourself in 30 seconds or less, and then put a curriculum together that is just off the chain so that by the time the year changes that you don't have competition.
I love it. I love it. I mean, in my mind was the wheels in my head were spinning as it related to how I was going to frame that for myself. And I'm hoping that people are taking notes or going back to this podcast more than once to get the information, the wonderful information that Jennifer is giving. And so I just want to just kind of wrap up by saying that Jennifer Ransaw Smith is incredible. And I want her to be able to play this tape over and over again in her head. That she is our Nails, Toes, and Convos speaker on January 14th, 2020 at Selfish Beauty Spa. And Selfish is located at 1777 Reisterstown Road in Pikesville, Maryland. And you can attend free. Now, you can't get Jennifer for free anywhere. But BTST is going to host Jennifer for you for free on January 14th. And we hope to see you there.